To live in the greater Des Moines metro is to love the area and all the new and exciting things happening in central Iowa. But you want more opportunities to connect with the community you love. AARP hears you. That's why they're expanding their activities and programs to help you explore all that life has to offer here in greater Des Moines. Visit aarp.org/IA to get involved. If you don't think building better communities when you think AARP, then you don't know ARP. Discover all the real possibilities right here in your community.
Insight on Business, the News Hour with Michael Libby is made possible through the support of Aurion, Human Resources and More for businesses and nonprofits. AUREON.com. Remax Concepts, real estate professionals with offices in the Des Moines Metro, Nevada, and Cedar Rapids. RealEstateConcepts.net.
This is part two of Out to Lunch with Kyle Munson. We're sitting at table 128, and I ask the soon-to-be past Iowa columnist, what's it going to be like leaving a pretty freewheeling job as a journalist and signing up with Principal Financial? What are you going to be doing?
You know, I get to use my journalist storytelling skills in a different sandbox. The news economy has its problems. I think we know. How do people want to pay for news? How do they want to subscribe to it? That's an interesting topic. But at the same time, there's a lot of widespread recognition that the kind of the journalist toolkit, storytelling toolkit, every company needs that now in a much more robust way because of social media, because the audience is there for people to connect with in a much different way. They don't need the filters. They don't need the middle people as much. And so so that's what it led to. It was just, it was not an easy decision for me to make after 24 years at the Register. I mean, I'm kind of permanently a journalist now. It's in my DNA. But this was, everything lined up. This was a chance to try something completely different with some people I know well and to tell stories in a completely different arena.
As a journalist, Kyle, you've touched on some pretty interesting topics, sometimes not always appreciative of the political class or the ruling class or however you want to say those things. Sometimes it's on the edge, if you will.
Right.
And you're moving into a business that's fraught with something called compliance. How is that going to mix?
Well, yeah, so obviously I go into this knowing that I'm not going to be firing off, you know, terse, testy columns about whatever topic occurs to me that morning. It's a much different ballgame. So this is, you know, the experimentation here is, it's going to involve, you know, multimedia podcast, video, as well as the written word. You know, also, how do we have an authentic voice? You know, so for a Fortune 500 company where compliance is an issue, how do you have an authentic voice? What does that mean? How do you bring people and stories into that environment? So I realize the challenge. I realize the challenge, and that's part of what attracted me to it, because I get to give it a shot, help shape it, and you know, maybe even find some general answers just for media as I do this.
Yeah, it'll be an interesting. We're at table 128, ladies and gentlemen. And they just set down their signature chocolate chip cookies.
Oh, wow.
And it's a good thing we don't have utensils any longer, because if you reach for those first. Let's talk a little bit about one of the things that seems to be top of mind awareness among so many people, and we hear this on a constant basis, Kyle, is media and media bias. As a journalist, we all have our bias, I think. You know, sometimes it's out there in the open, sometimes it's not so much. But we all have life experiences that shape our worldview. What's your answer to the people that point at media today and say, all of that's fake news, all of that is bias, that is against everything that I believe? Is it, how much reality is there?
That's a really good question. I just recently participated in a news media panel in Fairfield, Iowa, at a library. A local librarian convened this as part of National Library Week, and it was me and three other journalists, one from Ottumwa, one from the local newspaper in Fairfield, and the guy who ran the newsroom for a Sinclair TV station. Now, Sinclair was recently on the firing line because they were featuring, you know, their anchors were all reading the same editorial about fake news across the country, right? So when you talk about how people today don't trust their news sources, like either You know, either do they follow Fox News on the right and they reject, you know, local print media, or are they, you know, hardcore faithful readers of print editorials and print journalism in the Washington Post and the New York Times, and they reject Fox News. So, yeah, this whole much more partisan tribal media climate bothers me. Now, what made me hopeful from this library, this humble little library panel, there was also a librarian from the University of Iowa there. And basically the answer to this question is, in today's, as a consumer today, as a news reader today, you know, a viewer, you just can't be lazy. And you shouldn't. You should not shut off any particular media. You should not shut off any particular media source.
Just because you don't agree?
Just because you don't agree overall. Because credibility can vary from story to story. It can vary from byline to byline, from program to program, whatever. So it's easy for me to look at somebody like, say, a Sean Hannity, and to say that he lacks credibility when he comments on the president's lawyer and then doesn't disclose that he has a relationship with that same lawyer. That's pretty easy to call. I mean, that is BS media bias, right? Now, but I can't take that instance and then say that there is absolutely zero content on Fox News that I should pay attention to. That's not the case.
So you can't cherry pick.
Well, I think in some ways you have to be very savvy, and you have to be informed. Sometimes you have to cherry pick, because there might be one column that I write where I get things completely correct. I might have a column the next day where I make a couple of crucial errors, and somebody should call me to question on it. Does that make sense?
Well, it does make sense. What you're suggesting, and I don't mean to downgrade any consumer of any news.
Yeah.
But what you're asking individuals to do is to be curious and also investigative about what they're ingesting when it comes to the news. Are we really, are people that ambitious that
right.
they're going to do that?
Well, and so, and the flip side of the coin is, of course, it should go without saying, but I mean, I should say that as part of this conversation. I mean, I want every organization to be rigorous and to have very high standards. Every newsroom should aspire to have every one of its stories, you know, live up to the best journalism possible for the people that they're, just for the average person. You know, journalism is to comfort the afflicted, afflict the comfortable, and every newsroom should try to live up to that standard. So you're right. I'm not trying to push all the burden onto the news consumer. And, you know, it's not, you're right. They should not have to be an investigative reporter just to get through the day's stories. That's too much. That's too much.
Right, yeah.
But I think, I do think we're in an age where a healthy, an even healthier dose of skepticism is required, because so many people aren't just opening a very highly curated newspaper anymore or watching a highly curated Cronkite broadcast. They're watching a much more loosely curated news feed, RSS feed, Google News, Twitter feed, whatever. So if what we're taking in is much less curated, you have to be your own curator much more.
Interesting.
Yeah.
The changes in the print world of news are vast. We've seen how newspapers like the Des Moines Register, which, by the way, congratulations to the staff there, picked up some Pulitzer Prize, Andy Dominik.
Yeah, Andy Dominik for tough editorials.
Tough
yeah.
editorials. Tough stuff. And we're talking about healthcare issues.
Yeah, healthcare, the privatization of Medicaid in Iowa, not always the most popular topic.
Yeah, and that was one of those things that really does cause pain to some people in power.
Right.
So congratulations to Andy on that piece. But when we look at the whole world of print media and its declining numbers as far as circulation, hoping to get picked up on the digital aspect, I'm not asking you to give me any trade secrets, but how's that going?
Well, so the problem has always been we're in this transitional moment where we made a lot of money off of print, advertising, classifieds, everything, and we make relative pennies off of digital advertising.
Right.
And you know, even if you go to digital subscriptions, that can be a tough game too, because for a large metro daily newspaper or statewide newspaper like us, we have to make a lot of money off of a smaller pool of people. Somebody like the Washington Post or a national brand like the Times can make a little bit of money off of a much larger pool of people. So, you know, the Des Moines Register since 1985 has been part of Gannett, and that's all. Now it's more branded, even more so as the USA Today network. And, you know, in addition to Andy's Pulitzer yesterday, we had two other USA Today network Pulitzers for some major investigative projects. The news economy is still hurting everywhere, including with my newsroom, including with my network, with every news business. But you see some of these national brands making digital gains, and we've added digital subscribers throughout the network. But what is the new normal going to be? Like, what is the news mix and the, you know, news brand that enough people are going to subscribe to soon enough digitally to support the kind of painful news and opinions we're talking about? That don't sell easily to companies, powers that be, whatever.
Who's going to replace the Andy Dominics in the future if you can't afford to hire a person like that?
Yeah, we can't have this gulf between the news that is celebrated by the Pulitzers or whomever else that, you know, kind of keeps normal, everyday people safe and protects their, you know, their lives. We can't have a gulf between that and the news that people are willing to pay for.
Well, before the Second Amendment, there was the First Amendment.
Right. Yes, so the pen is mightier than the sword.
That's what they say.
Or the automatic weapon.
Whatever that happens to be. We're with Kyle Munson, ladies and gentlemen, out to lunch at table 128. Final question for you before we have to move on. What are you going to miss? What are you going to miss about the freedom, the experience, the traveling the roads of Iowa now as a private citizen versus a journalist with a journalist's inquisitive mind? You're going to be out there going, oh gosh, this is a great story. I wish I could write this.
Yeah, you know, the freedom to be in the center of all these newsy topics, I'm going to miss that. You know, but most of all, I want to stay an inquisitive person. And journalism is this amazing license to intrude in the best way, I think, on people's lives. So I'm going to miss that. Like, just the other day, I got a thank you note from a woman about a story I wrote more than a year ago, you know, that had to do with a death in her family. So, you know, that I take that to heart. And just the mission-driven side of journalism, where you're out there and you're a good actor for people for no other reason than you want to tell their story and bring meaning to their lives, that's a powerful motivation that drives you to work every day. So I fully realize what I will miss about that. But, you know, as I said, things sort of lined up at this moment for me, and part of it is, I mean, maybe I'm just fooling myself, but I think part of it is I feel so strongly about that mission and finding a viable way forward to support that, like we were just talking about, that if I can go into this completely different arena, you know, and experiment with media and come out of it better armed and have some answers, you know, I see it. I'm trying to play a long game here. You know, down the road, maybe I can help this fight to let more people go out and do what I've had the amazing gift given to me to be able to do.
I like that, the long game. So what I'm hearing is that we may see more of Kyle Munson somewhere in the future.
Well, let me put it in these terms. You know, I spent the first decade of my career as a music critic and a features writer, and I was covering musicians. So I can't tell you how many farewell tours I went to that were not really farewell tours. So I think I would put it in the terms that I'm just, so I'm a little loath to say this is my final farewell, because I don't want to be the boy who cried wolf. So.
It's going to be tough taking that inquisitive mind and putting it into a cubicle.
Well, sandbox. I like sandbox. Not a cubicle. I get to play the sandbox. In the sandbox.
With all the big guys. All right. His name is Kyle Munson, ladies and gentlemen. He has been our guest out to lunch with the Business News Hour. Kyle, thanks for taking the time doing this, man. Good luck to you.
Thanks, Michael. You do interviews right. This is a great place to do them.
Kyle Munson, in his final week with the Des Moines Register, is the Iowa columnist. We wish him all the very best. There is not a more class guy in all the media world. If you missed any or all of this conversation or part one, head over to our podcast page on iTunes, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, or on Podbean. For all of us who put this together, for our engineer, Tyler Hackenmiller, the voice of the Business News Hour is Hunter Pease, for our marketing and advertising specialist, Aaron Libby, and for the man who created the music you're listening to right now, James Goodlett from Jam Good Productions. My name is Michael Libby. Remember, be safe, be well, be careful, most of all, be good to your fellow man. Take care.